In a major victory for Native American rights, the Supreme Court today upheld key provisions of the Indian Child Welfare Act. It's a law that was enacted 45 years ago to remedy decades of past government abuse. But the decision left one important question unresolved, as NPR legal affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The Indian Child Welfare Act was enacted in 1978 after a congressional investigation found that in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, over one-third of all Native children had been removed from their homes, some forcibly, and placed with non-Indian families and institutions with no ties to the tribes. To ensure that would never happen again, the law established three preferences for the placement of Native children when they're adopted or put in foster care. The first preference is for placement with a child's extended family, then to other members of the tribe, and if neither of those is available, to members of another tribe. Those preferences were challenged by the state of Texas and by non-Indian adoptive parents. They argued that the law unconstitutionally supplanted the core functions of the states and their traditional role in family law matters, and second, that the adoption preferences were an unconstitutional racial classification. But today, the Supreme Court, by a 7-2 vote, explicitly left the Indian Child Welfare Law intact. Writing for the court majority, Justice Amy Coney Barrett pointed to two centuries of precedents that have established a broad congressional right to legislate on Indian affairs, including family law matters. The Constitution does not erect a firewall around family law, she said. To the contrary, we have not hesitated to find conflicting state laws preempted by federal law. Chuck Hoskin, principal chief of the Cherokee Nation, was elated.
I was overjoyed. I was surprised the margin was healthy, 7-2.
The court's decision, however, left one important question unresolved: whether the statute's system of preferences for Native adoptive parents amounts to an unconstitutional racial preference. Several non-Indian adoptive parents made that argument, but the court said they had no legal standing to sue in federal court because their cases have been concluded. Justice Brett Kavanaugh joined the Barrett opinion, but wrote separately to say that in his view, the preference issue remains a serious one. Still, several Indian law experts said today that it may well be difficult to find a suitable and unresolved test case that can go to the Supreme Court because most cases are settled without any appeal. Michigan State University law professor Kate Fort, who tracks these cases nationally, said that in the 6 years between 2015 and 2021, there were only 14 reported cases that were appealed in state courts.
Given that we have hundreds of child protection cases every year, that's a very small number.
Bert Hirsch, who helped write the Indian Child Welfare Act back in the 1970s, adds that it's rare for an adoption case to last long enough to be a live dispute when it gets to the Supreme Court.
It's going to be extraordinarily difficult, I think, to find a plaintiff who is somebody who is willing to not proceed to a finalization of an adoption and to keep a child in limbo, keep their family in limbo, through years and years of litigation with no resolution.
Indeed, all three of the cases before the court today were resolved, though one set of non-Indian parents is now trying to adopt a second Indian child. Chief Hoskin, however, is worried about other Indian preferences outside of adoptions. Statutes that give special preferences for Indian gaming, for Indian contracting, and Indian employment at the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
I'm always braced for the next challenge, particularly on equal protection grounds, because there's a whole lot of statutes out there that are specific to bringing justice and fairness to Indian country.
Dissenting from today's ruling were Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.